Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord. Over the last few years, we've had this little seminar that we do every now and then on a Saturday. We call it Partnering in the Gospel. It's a couple hours long, but it's meant to be a little review and a refresher for people as members or people who transfer here to kind of review, you know, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? So we start out and we talk about the five marks of discipleship. We've talked about that in a sermon before of how we want to not serve ourselves, but serve others and take up our cross and follow Jesus, and that we look at doctrine, and it's about love. In that, we also look at just different things that we do here at church, but then we get a little bit later into stewardship, and we have the surveys that we have downstairs about how to serve. But in that section, when we talk about serving, we also want to talk about healthy discipleship and what it means to be healthy. And so we go through a thing called the lies we believe. And then there's another little survey, this one called emotional healthy discipleship. And it goes through just different sections of our life and says, you know, how are things going just emotionally and spiritually for me? Some things that you haven't thought about before. The first section, though, it says, be before you do, which is talking about resting and thinking about the Sabbath. And the problem for me is I'm not very good at these. You go through these, and a lot of times people go through and go, ooh, okay, yeah, I could look at these a little bit more. But I kind of have this, like, ADD, ADHD. I kind of always need something going on and music or something in the background. And one of these things, I regularly spend time in solitude and silence. This enables me to be still and undistracted in God's presence. How many of you are really good at sitting there in silence that you can just be quiet and let things be quiet around you? I think in nature it's easier for me, but if I'm in the house, if I have work and family around, like, I just need people or sound. So I have a hard time doing that. Another one here is it talks about setting 24-hour period each week for Sabbath keeping, to stop, to rest, to delight, and to contemplate God. Or people talk about, you know, your Sabbath, you know, once a week, and then, you know, once a year, making sure you get that rest. How many of you are good at resting even when you're on vacation? If you're like me, takes about day two, maybe day three, when you finally start shutting things off in your mind and not thinking about work. I was at a conference recently where a woman was talking about, it was, she said she got a promotion to be administrator, and when she was in this new administration position, she said, I'm not working on weekends. So I'm not, you know, email, not answering. And then from Christmas to New Year's, I'm not answering emails, setting these boundaries. And few years later, when she retired from that position, her boss came and said, I really appreciated that you set those boundaries, that you focused on this rest, because he said, when I go to the lake and to the cabin, the first thing I did was set up Wi-Fi in my cabin so that I had Wi-Fi on the pier and on the dock, so when I was fishing, I still had connection to work. So even though he was on vacation at rest, he was not at rest, and he was not shut off and with his family. It's hard for us, I think, in our world to find rest, isn't it? Different ways of just maybe being quiet and spending that quiet time with Jesus, or having that emotional, physical time to rest. We struggle with that. But we also struggle with the idea of rest and the law. We're going to see here, Jesus gives us rest, But what are the challenges for us? Why is it so hard, and why do we need Jesus to give us this true rest? Well, our lesson comes from Mark 2 and 3, and we're not going to walk through everything. We're going to kind of review it, because if you heard it, it's actually two different stories, and then the first story is kind of like Inception, if you know the movie Inception. It's here's a story, and they're talking about a law, and then they're talking about Jesus references an Old Testament lesson inside of this and referencing, so it's a story within a story within a story. So, what though was the main concern on both of these Sabbaths? Here we have the disciples who, they were actually justified in what they were doing. They weren't working, and in Deuteronomy it said you could go through the field and just pick the grain. Not harvest, but just in the corners, the people were actually supposed to leave some for people walking by to gather food. And then the second time, the Pharisees were upset that Jesus was maybe going to heal. They're watching him. The Pharisees loved the law. What about you and me? I think it's true that we love laws, don't we? We love to be able to put that checklist down and compare ourselves to other people. We like to know what I need to do to measure up, to look righteous. And especially to look righteous before others. Very easy for us to compare. And so what do we use to compare? Well, let's use some laws, some things that, well, you should do this, don't do that. And then like the Pharisees, maybe we go a step further. The big problem with the Pharisees is there were laws about the Sabbath, but what they did is they had this law and then they built a fence around it and a fence around it and a fence around it and added all these ridiculous laws. Where one of the examples was if you had a casket that had a leak in it, on the Sabbath day you could not fix the leak on this casket. So if that happened on the Sabbath, too bad, your house is going to have that stain of wine or whatever is leaking out. How do we do that? How do we love laws? Well, maybe we set up things of, you know, making us pretty righteous because we're here at church. Those people are not. Maybe we set up laws about maybe what we wear, what we do with our time outside of church. We can set up all sorts of laws to compare ourselves to others. And the real dangerous part is when it's not really laws that God gives, but laws that make us feel good. Laws that can make us kind of feel set apart from others and more righteous than others. As we look at those laws and we look at the Sabbath, it's important to understand why then God gave us the Sabbath. When we go back to the Deuteronomy section, we see the reason he did this, and then Jesus speaks about it as well, that he said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God gave us this, but it's not supposed to rule over us. It's not supposed to be just another law. But I think what's really interesting is in that Deuteronomy reading, when God says, you're supposed to rest. Notice he lists all the things. You're supposed to work for 6 days, do all these things, and then you rest. When you go on vacation, what's one of the thoughts and feelings you have about vacation and rest? That we deserve it, right? Especially now it's summer vacation. There's more time to go on trips. And we're like, oh, I really deserve that rest and vacation. I've worked so hard. And I'm not saying you haven't. And in work, yes, we we store up that vacation and we get that for our work. But the truth is, we often think we deserve much, and especially rest. We think God owes us and the world owes us. But why did God give the Sabbath day? He created the world in 6 days, and then on the sixth day, he created man. Did God need to rest? He didn't need to rest, but he set up this pattern for you and for me, for the world to say, rest. And then in Deuteronomy, he's explaining to them, you rest because it is a gift. I rescued you, and I deliver you this from all of your enemies, and that gives you rest. But it's not something because you have done so great that now you get the Sabbath rest. Our world loves to be entitled, don't we? We love to think we deserve so much from people. We deserve all this respect. And you hear it on all the award shows of any athlete or musician or actress. They really deserve this award. Why? What do we really deserve? What does the world owe us? One of my favorite examples of this, it was just a little picture meme, but a notepad. And it says, this is what the world owes you. And then what's on the paper? Nothing. The world doesn't owe us anything. And what does God owe us? Well, what about our sins? How are we born? We discussed it today with baptism. That we are born sinful. That we don't deserve anything from God on our own. We struggle with this, though, because we think, I do a lot of good. I'm better than others. We cling to that law to think that we deserve things from God and we deserve this rest. But we don't. And this points to that top-down blessing from God and teachings that even rest that we love to say we earn this is this beautiful gift from God. And why do we know it's this beautiful gift from God? Again, we see that Jesus says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. That Jesus was Lord over this. One of the most interesting things about this lesson, though, is who is the one picking the grain? Who are the people doing that? It says that the disciples were going through the fields and picking the grain, and the Pharisees are watching, and they say, Jesus, why are they doing this? Was it wrong for them to do? No, but it kind of seems like Jesus knows they're watching, and he maybe was hungry, and he didn't do it. He didn't want to kind of enrage them more. And then look at the miracle in the second story. As he's in the synagogue, it says that they're watching him. They're watching what he's going to do. Is he going to heal on the Sabbath? And so he asks the question, which is lawful to do on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? In Matthew, when they talk about this, they even discuss how the people agree it's okay to save an animal stuck in the thickets, but to give someone food or to heal someone, oh, that's wrong. It goes back to the way that people love the laws and not people. But then notice how he heals. He has the man stand up, which he could do on the Sabbath. And then, as he's angry because of what the Pharisees are asking, and deeply distressed, he says to the man, stretch out your hand. Stretched it out, it was completely restored. Often, when Jesus did miracles, what did he do in those miracles? He often touched them, sometimes made a bigger show of it, used different elements to do it, kind of really show he's doing this. Now, did he do the healing? Yes, but did he do any work? Did he tell this man to do any work? What's interesting is he didn't. Both in the first part, he's not picking from the grain, and he's not doing any work other than actually healing the man. But he wasn't enraging them more in actually breaking Sabbath law. He kept the Old Testament law. We know that. And so another way that we have rest is that Jesus frees us by keeping the law perfectly. This gives us true rest because even though we love laws, we fall very short, don't we? We fall short over and over again, and we like to take the laws that we can follow and then kind of ignore the ones we don't. And then we say it's okay, but not if we really know our own hearts. And so when we look to Jesus and say, he was the perfect one. He kept the law perfect for you. He fulfilled the Old Testament law. And every way that we were tempted, he did not stumble. And so he gives you true rest by saying the law is now abolished in that you do not feel like you have to earn your way to heaven because you cannot. And you can rest in what Jesus has done for you. So, we're encouraged then to keep the Sabbath, to be in his word. It's a command, but we're resting. What are we to rest in? Kind of that weird paradox of a command, you do this, it's a law, but it's a gift. And it's this understanding that, again, God gives us laws of things that are good for us, things that he knows helps us. And so the Sabbath day is about rest, but it's also about being in God's word, of growing and spending time with Jesus and your Savior. And though we talk about rest and it's important to have physical rest, we're always going to have stresses and sadness and fears in this world. So where do we find true rest? Again, in Scripture, in another time where it talks about this healing, right before Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. As the disciples are following, and then the Pharisees are angry, and what do they want? They see him heal, and they want to kill him. Notice he said, what is better to do, heal or kill? Jesus is willing to be hated and killed so that you can have true peace. Colossians talked about all those things that we are set free from the burden of sin, that he nails our sins to the cross and the debt is paid. But what we so often do is, again, we like the law, so we take things that are full of grace and supposed to give us rest, like baptism. And what does much of the church do? They make it into something you do. Something you earn, something that you say, I am full in, it's my commitment. But today, we saw the amazing blessing of, again, an infant being baptized. And why do we rejoice in an infant being baptized? Because we can have rest through Jesus. You can look back on your baptism and say, this is what God has done for me. I'm loved and I'm forgiven. And that can't be taken away. There are going to be hardships. There are going to be times where you are not at rest and it's because of the world or maybe because of struggles you're going through. Sins you committed, sins that are committed against you. And the true rest we find is in the Lord. And the true Sabbath rest is not just on what used to be Saturday or now Sunday. But what's the true Sabbath rest? What we look forward to in heaven when there is no more sin, no more pain. We know that this is what is in store for us because Our God loves us. That He gives us rest, and it's something you cannot earn. And what a blessing that is, because it's free, it's grace, it's love. So today, this year, find some time to rest physically. It's good to do, right? But most of all, find time to rest in your Savior. To rest in Jesus and know you're loved and forgiven, and He has done everything for you perfectly. He's your Redeemer, He is your Lord, and through Him you have true rest. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.